1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. Once you find that, I want you to hold your finger there and find Exodus chapter number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Exodus chapter number 32. We're going to begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse number 24. And we're going to read down through verse number 14 of chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse number 24. This is a lengthier passage of Scripture, and so if you would, read aloud with me the odd number of verses as we read through this passage. Beginning again, 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 24, and we'll read down through the following chapter, chapter 10, verse number 14. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Notice again there that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 32. Hopefully you have your finger there in that passage of Scripture. And I want to read, I told my Sunday school class again this morning, anytime we see this phrase in the Scriptures, as it is written, it ought to jar our mind to be able to ask, where exactly is it written? And maybe we would even go and find that and figure out the context of where it was written. Exodus chapter 32 is where this was written. And we want to read beginning in verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, or we know not, what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. I want to bring a message this morning, as I told you I would last Sunday, an idolatrous worship service. An idolatrous worship service. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this time that we have, ultimately, to gather around the Word of God. Lord, we're thankful for these songs even that we've sung that point to you as the hope, the answer for every problem that mankind has. And so I pray that as this message goes forth, I pray that we would seek to find your solution to our problems. And ultimately, might we be able to see that Jesus Christ, who was dead, buried, and risen again, he is the ultimate solution to the problems of mankind, which is a sin problem. And I pray that you might help us, that we might be truly worshipers of the one true God. We might do it in spirit and in truth, and it might be worship that you would be pleased with and that you would receive. And I pray that you speak to our hearts today. Help us as Open Door Baptist Church. We might be faithful to our Lord until you come and call us out of here. Again, if there's somebody here sitting right now who does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd realize their need, and I pray that they would receive you before this service is completed today. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we seek to understand more fully the point and purpose of a modern day church worship service. We say modern day because we just happen to be living in modern times, the present age. In many ways, nothing else really changes, as the immutable God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As a result, all that is against God as the constant standard, he is the constant standard, also remains largely the same. All that is against God remains largely the same because God as the constant standard is the same. Idolatry in principle is the same in 2021 as it was in Corinth, Greece, about 2,000 years ago. And it is the same in the early church age as it was in Mount Sinai approximately 1,600 years before then. Truly, the more things change, you've heard it before, the more they stay the same. The point then of a modern day church worship service is the same as in ancient days: to bow down, to depress. Boy, we don't like that word, do we? Depress or depressed. It's got a very negative connotation to it. But did you know that the word, the original Hebrew word for our word worship, one of the meanings is to depress, prostrate, crouch, fall down flat, humbly beseech, to do obeisance. This is just a movement made in token or sign of respect or submission, to do reverence, to make, to stoop, such as the meaning of that Hebrew word, shaka. It's translated worship in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 15, where Abraham and Isaac went up to the mountain. He said, we're going to go and we're going to worship. And what then of its purpose? Or what should be the result? In a nutshell, worship should prepare us to serve the one worthy of the worship. Let me say that again. Worship should prepare us to serve the one worthy of the worship. I love Psalm number 100. Do you remember it by memory? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. It's no wonder that it's in the title, Worship Service. We must be concerned then with the prospect of failure in the area of the worship service. We fail if the action fails. We fail if it's attributed wrongly. And we fail if the outcome fails, in other words, to spur the worshipers to service. Exodus chapter number 32 recounts for us massive failure, hear me this morning, in the worship service. The elements seem to be all present. Think of them with me, if you will. There is a gathering of the people. As a matter of fact, that word gathering is very similar. It's a Hebrew word, obviously, that's been translated into English, but it's a very similar word to the word that we get for church in the New Testament, the word ekklesia. There's a gathering of the people. There's an offering, as a matter of fact, a couple of them that are given and are received. There's an altar. There's worship, the word itself. There's singing. There is proclamation or a message that goes forward. There's even, and I know my Baptist brethren and sisters love this one, there's a meal and there's recreation that goes on. But I feel good when we get to come to church and have a Sunday school time. And usually we do a little bit of eating, at least in our Sunday school class. We're blessed in that way. We have a little time of refreshment and all of that. And then we go to church and have a church service and a good time together that way. And sometimes we get together after that and have a church-wide meal together. And then sometimes we even have some recreation together. Maybe it's softball or volleyball or basketball or something that we can get together and do as a church and have some recreation. All of this was present in this worship service, but it was a whopping failure. It was denied. It was rejected. Hear me this morning. It was even opposed by God Himself. Now what I'd like us to do for the next few minutes is look at their example of failure and seek with all we have to succeed. To succeed in having the opposite of an idolatrous worship service. Number one, I want you to notice this morning the corruption from the commandment. The corruption from the commandment. Notice, if you would, now Exodus 32, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Turn, if you will, holding your finger there in Exodus 32 to Exodus chapter number 24, just a few pages back. Exodus chapter number 24. Corruption from the commandment. You see, God is very, very specific with how the worship is to be carried out. And as a matter of fact, a lot of us who have read the Bible through many times, and maybe some that are attempting to do it for the first time or for the first times, you might get to books such as Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, and you might think, boy, this is just so monotonous, and all of these details, what are these things really all about? Why did God go through such great lengths? Why did He cause His leadership to go through such painstaking effort? We think that God just wrote all this stuff down for Moses. You know, we think about the Ten Commandments and think about the tablets that God wrote Himself on. That was a very, very small portion of the commandments that were given. Did you know that a man actually had to write down the broad majority of the things that God gave to His people? Line by line, letter by letter, precept by precept, truth by truth, Moses had to write it down. It's no wonder, and I think there is something involved here. I don't want to get too far ahead, but think about this. The Bible says that the people saw that He delayed to come down from the mount. Can I say this? In my humble opinion, I've been a believer since I was 6 years old, a little over 30 years now, and I've been around churches, different kinds of churches in different places in our country, and I've seen a lot through the years. And you know what I've noticed? We get ourselves in trouble when we want to too quickly have an instant result. Let me say this. We want a church to be filled with people, and we want it to be fancy, and we want it to have the latest and greatest of everything that every other church that has the latest and greatest has. And mornings like this morning at Open Door Baptist Church, boy, we look around and we would say, we haven't got there yet, have we? Boy, it was rough, some of the song service and all of that, and we need to come a little further in those areas. May I say this? We get ourselves in trouble when we get ahead of God wanting an immediate result. Now think about the children of Israel. Why were they in such a hurry? They had just left Egypt. They were in bondage. Surely they understood and they realized where ultimately they were going. God had this promised land, this land of Canaan there for them. But God also gave them a leader, and God also had some lessons for them to learn. Why were they in such a hurry? Well, before we get too involved and in getting on them and all of that, think about this. Moses was in the mount for how long? 40 days? 40 days, almost 6 weeks? Can you imagine if, let's say, for instance, the leader, human leader as it is, at Open Door Baptist Church, Pastor Taylor is out for almost 6 weeks. And then imagine this, you're not exactly sure what's going on with him. They knew Moses was going up into the mount to supposedly meet with God, but they hadn't heard from him since the time that he ultimately went up. But they're in a hurry, they want an instant result, they're ready to get there. They're ready to have the product, what God has promised them, and as a result, they begin to corrupt themselves from the commandment. I had you turn to Exodus chapter number 24. Notice verse number 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain, be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us, wait until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. So Moses left the assistant pastors in charge while he went away. And you see how good that turned out, all right? So you can't trust those assistant pastors very much. I'm kidding about that this morning, all right? Verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount. Notice this, in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. But they have quickly corrupted themselves from the commandment. Those things that God has already given them. By the way, this was not the first time that God had given them commandments. They had already received some of those commandments. Think Exodus chapter number 20 and those chapters there. They had already received some things. God had already given them some of these commandments. God had already written some things down for them to be able to keep. And yet they were in a hurry to get the desired product. Psalm number 19 talks about the commandments. And ultimately what God has done, and we're so thankful in modern days and times, is God has given us His commandments, His Word in the Bible. It's been proven over and over again. It's been seen over and over again to give solution to all of man's issues and all of man's problems historically and scientifically. It's been proven right over and over again. And when do we get ourselves in trouble? When we are corrupted from His commandment. Psalm number 19, verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If you want to be sure about how to go through your life, friend, may I point you this morning to the commandments of the Lord in the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. It says this, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. May I just say this, had Aaron and Hur and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders simply said, we don't know all what's going on with Moses, and we don't know what's going to be the after effect of when he comes back, but we know this, God has given us some commandments in the little bit of the Word of God that we have at this time. We're going to follow it. We're going to stick with it. They would not have quickly corrupted themselves had they simply stuck with what God had already given them in His Word. May I say this? We would avoid an idolatrous worship service. And by the way, I would suggest to you that there are many, many of those that are going on even this morning. As I preach, it's got all of the elements of a worship service, but it's idolatrous. And let me tell you the number one reason that it has gone away from the Word of God. May I say this? We've decided at Open Door Baptist Church that we believe the King James Bible. We believe it to be preserved for English-speaking people. We believe it to be without error, and we're going to stick with it. We don't care how times change. We don't care how major religious beliefs change. We don't care how societies change. We're going to stick with the Word of God. And as a result, we will keep from being corrupted quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, the holy writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Did I already say this morning that the Bible's got the solutions, the answers to every single one of life's problems? It does. If we'll read it, if we'll learn it, if we'll commit it to memory and commit it to our lives and just decide to obey the commandments that, by the way, the Creator God has given us. If it was just some man that had given us the blueprints, then yes, I would say, let's see if we can find another way. This is the one that created all that we see, who also gave us the commandments. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, heavenly sunlight, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, God did not give it to some individual to be able to give his own version of it. No, God's very clear in giving his word. The Bible says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I do not believe that I hold in my hand this morning a work of men. Yes, God has used men to pen it down. Yes, God has used men through the years to print it out. Yes, God has used men through the years and women to be able to teach it and to be able to give messages from it. But I believe I hold in my hand this morning the word, the commandments of Almighty God. It can be trusted. It can be followed. It can be leaned upon. It can be relied upon. It's been proven again and again. Psalm number 12, verses 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." And I believe that God has done that. And may I just say this? I'm just going to mention this in passing. It is no wonder in modern day church worship services that the music changes in a major way. And by the way, modesty changes in a major way. What happens first in every single one of those cases? The Word of God, the commandment of God, is tampered with. That's the reason why when Joshua is coming down from the mount with Moses, he says, "I think I hear battle." Either somebody winning a battle or somebody being overcome by battle. And Moses says to Joshua, "No, that's not what you hear. What you hear is the sound of singing." But it sounded like war. And I'm telling you, if you go to a modern day church worship service, and as you get closer and closer to the building, it sounds like chaos and war is going on. You better watch out. There's probably some corruption going on. By the way, modesty tends to follow. I'm not saying that you ought to come to church with a three-piece suit and tie and ladies with the best, most elegant clothing that you can find, but I would say this: God is worthy of our best. He is worthy of our best. And as we diminish Him in our minds and our hearts, and we are corrupted away from His commandments and who He is and His character and all of these things, we begin to look different on the outside. It happens every single time. Look at the cultures throughout the time of humanity, of mankind. Look at cultures that have taken their clothes off more and more. Those are the same cultures that have gone away, if they've ever been there in the first place, from God and from His Word. You say, Pastor Taylor, we wear our best, and you know we're modest at church on Sundays, but you know Monday, and it's summertime, and you know it gets hot, and we need some recreation, and we need to be able to work out and go run over by Lake Hefner, you know, and do these types of things. And you know, to be able to do that, you got to take your clothes off. Well, is God the same God on Sunday as He is on Monday? Is He worthy of worship to stoop down, to bow, all those different things, to ask supplication? Is He worthy of that on Monday as He is on Sunday? I'm not saying we ought to wear a three-piece suit and tie if we did it on Sunday, that we ought to do it on Monday, but we ought to be modest. We ought to cover ourselves up. Why? God is holy. And He says there's something called nakedness, and you are not to be naked. By the way, you'll read in here, Aaron made them naked to their shame. And it's still shameful in the United States of America for folks to take their clothes off and to be naked in public. You say, what happened to these folks? They were corrupted from the commandment, the Word of God. I want you to see something else in our passage. We're really just about done this morning. I want to mention these things this morning. Very important. Number two, repentance and remembrance. Not only corruption from the commandment, but repentance and remembrance. I want you to be able to see this. This is almost a little bit shocking when we think about these words. Exodus chapter number 32, notice verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. They are stubborn. They are rebellious. By the way, we got the same problem today that Israel had all those many years ago. Anybody here stubborn and rebellious today? You willing to admit it? I know I am. If we're not careful, we'll be just like Israel. Thank you for your honesty, by the way. You that raised hands, the rest of you are lying. All right, no problem. But if we're not careful, we'll be stiff-necked, rebellious, stubborn against God Himself. And we will never prosper, hear me, we will never prosper when we're stiff-necked, rebellious, stubborn against God and against His Word. He says in verse number 10, God says, now therefore let me alone. This is interesting to me. This is God speaking. Talking to Moses, he says, now therefore let me alone. Leave me alone, Moses, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, I don't know how many exactly there were. There were at least 650,000, but that's just men, maybe even warring men. Some have suggested maybe there were like 2 to 3 million that had come out of Egypt. And God was so upset, you better listen this morning and hear this and see this, at this one incident that God says, let me alone, I'm upset, I'm going to consume every single one of them. Destroy them all. And I'll start all over with you, Moses. God is still a holy God. He's the same holy God as He was in Exodus 32. He gets upset about sin, but He gets especially upset about idolatrous worship. Moses besought the Lord, verse 11, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Here it is, God remembering and repenting. You say, but the Lord can't forget, and the Lord surely can't do wrong. And I would say, I completely agree. But for the sake of humankind, for the sake of those that he loves, God repented. He changed what he was going to do, and he remembered the promises that he had made. And it was not that he couldn't create a new people through Moses and still keep his promises, but God said, I'll have mercy. What we see here is we see a prophet pleading with God. Chapter 32, verse number 30. Came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. By the way, at this point, 3,000 people have already been killed. They've received capital punishment. Verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And the translators had this extra long dash there. It's as if there was this moment of silence there, that Moses was so broken over the sin of the people and over their plight that there were no words to say. And then he goes on and says, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. This is a prophet pleading with God for his people. May I say this? You might come to a church like Open Door Baptist Church and see an old-fashioned preacher clap his hands and stomp his feet and raise his voice and pound his fist, and you think he looks awful angry, and it just seems like he's not a very nice guy. But may I say this? So many pastors and preachers like that will be the same ones that in their private time spend time, even with tears, weeping over a life that's being destroyed over sin. You may not see that, but he's pleading for your life. So Moses said some very hard things, and you might hear some hard things at an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church. Just know there's love in the heart. That same preacher, that same leader for God, by the way, we've all been called to lead for God. He's not only pleading with God, but he's putting people out of the camp. This same pastor pleading for the people with God, this is the same one that is putting people out of the camp. How does he do it? He does it in some very unsettling ways. Chapter 32, verse 19, we got to hurry, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. By the way, the children of Israel had danced before, and it was pleasing to God. There's a way to move and express emotion that is actually pleasing to God, and there's a way to do it that is the exact opposite. Now look at licentiousness in terms like these in the Word of God, and you will see there is a way that we can move and use our body to be able to honor and glorify the Lord, and the Lord be pleased, and there is a way we can do it, and the Lord will be very upset. And what we see here in the passage is Moses sees the folks, the calf, the dancing. He gets upset. The Bible says his anger waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hand, break them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made. By the way, I think Moses got an anger problem. We see this in other places in his life. He took the calf which they had made, notice this, and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. This nice modern day pastor who just comes and tells us all about how God loves us and, you know, God's for us and all that, and he is. Ground this idol to power, threw it in the water, and said, now you drink it. You like it so much. What are you looking for when you come to a modern day church worship service? Are you just looking for somebody to make you feel good? Somebody to agree with your opinion about everything? Or are you looking for somebody who will stand before God as best as he knows how with God's commandments and God's words, who will tell you what thus saith the Lord? When it's positive, yes, but when it's negative too. Verses 27 and 28, he said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, this is the same mild-mannered leader here. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. There fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. What is Moses doing here? They are exercising Old Testament church discipline. Now, I'm thankful that was Old Testament times. We exercise church discipline. The end result is not off with his head, off with their head. But God wanted us to know, 1 Corinthians tells us this is an example, it's an ensample for us. God wanted us to know how serious he is about the worship service. Corruption from the commandment, repentance and remembrance. Thank God he changes what he's about to do. And he remembers the promises that he's made, his grace and mercy. But I want you to notice quickly now, coming for consecration, this is ultimately what God wants for a proper church worship service. He wants us to be coming for consecration. Now, this is very serious. I want you to notice now, Exodus chapter 32, verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Notice verse number 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man. Notice this phraseology. Even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you, God may bestow upon you a blessing this day. What is he saying? He's saying you separate yourself, and in doing so, you make yourself an enemy even of your kin. You consecrate yourself and come near to me so closely that you will actually be an enemy of those that truly you love. And why are we to be coming to a church worship service? I'm not telling you to go out and hate anybody. What I am saying this, we are to be coming to the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God he will, but then we're to come for consecration. It just means to be separated unto God. And as we get closer and closer to God, then those that are away from God, there will be more and more a difference and a distinction and even friction there. And that's good. They ought to know there's a difference. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Consecrate yourself. You say, that's all Old Testament. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 14, verse number 25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, how you like this, by the way? Jesus got a big crowd. You going to give them a nice, flowy, flowering message? Well, let's look. And he turned and said unto them, to this great multitude, how you like this? Boy, our premises gets filled up this morning, cars everywhere, people everywhere. Let me give you all a message. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I'm just here to tell you this morning, God is serious. Jesus is serious. He wants you to come to him, but he does not have in mind you coming as you are and you leaving as you are. He wants you to come, and he wants you to be consecrated and be separated and realize what that means, and you get so close to him that it would seem like you even hate other people. It's not that you do, but it's that you're trying to live according to God's commandments, that there is that much of a distinction and a difference. By the way, God is hateful at the evil himself. And the lost person, the one that's on their way to an everlasting fire, they need to know God's wrath is nothing to play with. And if they see glimpses of that in you and me who are supposedly believers in him, it might make a difference. Rather than us just saying, yeah, we're church Sunday, everything's okay, we agree with everything, we're just trying to get along and be at peace. God tells us to be at peace as much as possible, but he also says, be consecrated, be separated unto me. We see corruption from the commandment, repentance and remembrance. We see ultimately what the people are to be doing, coming for consecration. Could I ask you this morning, members of Open Door Baptist Church, attenders of this service, why did you come to the worship service today? What's the motive from your heart? Maybe you'd say, I just came because somebody invited me. It's a good reason to come. But do you understand now the point, the purpose for a true Bible church worship service? Do you understand the distinction between an idolatrous? By the way, it's interesting to me. It is not that they totally threw God out and brought in idolatry. Here's what they did. They mixed it. Aaron said, tomorrow we're going to have a feast of the Lord. He made a proclamation. What did God say about the people? He said they've worshipped those false idols. They've sacrificed unto those false idols. And so what happens is, in a lot of modern day church worship services, they just take a little bit of the Bible and take a little bit of human philosophy and sort of marry it together, and it sounds good. And by the way, it gets a quick product. There's a lot of places this morning you can go. They are filled to the brim with people excited to be there. Oh, but is God excited about what's going on? Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want to read this verse and give you a stanza of a song that's just an old, old hymn. Maybe you know it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race, verse 24, run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. There's coming a day, Christian friend, you and I, who are believers, are going to stand before a judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account for what we've done in our bodies since the Lord saved us. There will be those, because they have attempted to worship the Lord and then go on to serve the Lord, that will have crowns and trophies and treasure to be able to give back to the Lord, to be able to honor Him in that way. And there will be those who will have nothing. The song says it like this: shall I empty-handed be, when beside the crystal sea I shall stand before the everlasting throne? Will I have a heart of shame as I answer to my name, with no works that my Redeemer there can own? Shall I empty-handed be? Will there be a crown, a trophy, a treasure to be able to cast back at His feet, He who alone is worthy of it? Or will I, as the Bible says, many of them, idolatrous, fornication, murmur — how did all that come about? These idolatrous worship services, the action being wrong, we want to raise up and stand up and all of that for God instead of stooping down and kneeling down for Him. Who is it attributed to? Is the worship service something that'll just make me feel good? Or is it something that would be pleasing to God? And ultimately, what's the outcome? Do we just gather to be able to say we had a church service? Or do we say, boy, God gave me something, and now I've got a job to do. I've got a task to do. Israel had a job to do. You know what their job was to do? Go throughout the rest of the world and let everybody else know who the true God is. That was their task. Guess what? That's our task as well. And I wonder if the worship service is leading us to go out on Monday morning and go serve the Lord. And if not, there's either something wrong with the worship service, or there's something wrong in our heart. Maybe we're just a stiff-necked people. God needs to help us. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an invitation song here in just a moment. But I want to ask you a question. Most important question anybody will ever ask you. If you were to die today, do you know for sure where your soul would be? Do you know how your eternity would look? The here and now may seem good, it may seem bad at times, but I'm telling you, it is nothing to be compared to an eternity apart, separate from God, or on the other hand, an eternity together with God forever. And so if you're here today, you've heard the message, maybe you agree with some things, maybe you don't. I'm not here to ask you that right now, but I do want to know this. Do you know where you're going to be, where your soul will be when you breathe that last breath? It could happen today. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure about that this morning, but I'm concerned about it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm looking because I want to be able to pray for you. And if that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand up very quickly and put it back down. I don't know where my soul would be for eternity if I were to die today, but I am concerned about that. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Would you lift your hand? Just lift it right up, right back down. Just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you out, but I think it's important to acknowledge it. In the same way that Moses pleaded with God for the people, I'd like to plead with God for you right now. Is there one like that this morning? Is there one? Let me ask you this question. Christian friend, are you at the type of church that has the right kind of worship service? Number two, are you involved Are you coming for the purpose of getting closer to God so you can be separate and so you can go out and serve? Maybe you'd say, Pastor Taylor, I don't know about all those things, but God has certainly spoken to my heart this morning through the message. I'm a believer, but God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me. Is there one like that? Hands up all over. Hands up all over. Let's pray together. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God is speaking to your heart, you just need to come talk to Him. We invite you to come to this old-fashioned altar. It's just a makeshift altar. You can come here to the step and just kneel down, stoop down before God and talk to Him if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever this morning and God is speaking to your heart concerning the condition of your soul right now and where you would spend eternity, can I just say this to you? If you'd be willing, we have somebody that would be willing to take the Bible, show you how you can know for sure that you're God. We invite you to see my place.